Hello, everybody. Welcome to the International Society of Thrombosis and Hemostasis initiated Clinician Corner on addressing the unmet needs of patients with thrombotic thrombocytopenic purpura. My name is Jamila Sathar.
And my name is Mandy Yap. We both are hematologists from Ambang Hospital, Malaysia.
Today, we'll be discussing about the prevalence, the outcomes, and the diagnostic challenges of TTP. Mandy, can you tell us about TTP? Can you just give us a brief overview of
TTP? Yes, certainly. TTP is a rare but fatal disorder. It is because of the deficiency of the ADAMTS13 enzyme, which can be due to either the formation of autoantibodies against the enzymes, amounts to about 95% of the cases, which we call as acquired TTP, or it is due to the hereditary deficiency of the ADAMTS13 enzyme because of the mutations within the ADAMTS13 gene itself, which amounts to just 5% of the TTP cases. Dr. Jamila.
ADAMTS13. What does this enzyme do?
This enzyme has a very important function in the sense like it breaks down the large multimers of the von Willebrand factor. So if you happen to have a deficiency of this ADAMTS13 enzyme, it will cause the accumulation of the high molecular weight von Willebrand factor multimers, whereby these multimers will continue to bind with platelets and causing platelet aggregations, and subsequently disseminated platelet microthrombi, resulting in end organ damage, what we see in a TTP patient with stroke, seizure, heart failure, renal failure, as well as liver failure, which is potentially very fatal. Yes, Dr. Jamila, that's what the ADAMTS13 do.
Yes, that's why it is so very important to diagnose the condition early so that we can institute urgent therapeutic plasma exchange, because this is a lethal disorder, almost lethal disorder. I think more than 90% mortality rates.
So, Dr. Jamila, since you say it's such a lethal disorder, so how is the diagnosis being made?
Well, the diagnosis is made by actually having a high level of clinical suspicion of TTP. So any patients who present with hemolytic anemia and thrombocytopenia must prompt the clinician to perform an urgent peripheral blood film and look at under the microscope, and what they will see are schistocytes or fragmented red cells, microspherocytes, small little sphere-like red cells. Normal red cells will be actually a disc shape, but in this condition, it will be small, little round red cells. And this is due to shearing of the red cells as it passes through the microthrombi in TTP, as well as low platelets. Patients with TTP usually present with non-specific symptoms like fever, lethargy, pitiquia, headaches, and even abdominal pain. So one must have a high level of suspicion when patient comes with low platelets and mild anemia. And sometimes the severe cases can present with seizures and renal failure. And we don't want to wait for that, because those late features, when you have those features, it means your mortality rate goes up. So that is why it's so important to have a high level of suspicion. And sometimes patient may present with mild anemia and thrombocytopenia, and clinicians may actually misdiagnose them as ITP or immune thrombocytopenia. And only when the condition worsens, then they will they finally get the diagnosis of TTP. As illustrated in a patient of mine, I will share the case with you. He's a 32-year-old male stockbroker, previously well. He presented with 1 week history of pitiquia, blood spots on his lower limb. And his hemoglobin was 11.5 at that time, platelet was 14, and the attending clinician diagnosed him as ITP, or immune thrombocytopenic purpura, and sent him off with prednisolone. And he came back 1 week later with status epilepticus, meaning seizures that went on and on, and he had to be intubated and managed in the ICU. And his full blood count, his hemoglobin came back as 9.5, platelet remained at 14, and his lactate dehydrogenase, the enzyme or that is a marker for hemolysis, was above 2,000. So hence, you know, luckily for this patient, he survived with plasma exchange. So that just tells you the importance of having a high level of suspicion and coming to a diagnosis. Of course, we in our laboratory do the ADAMTS assay activity, and so we send that off before we start the plasma exchange, and a level of less than 10% confirms a diagnosis of TTP. Because there are many other causes of hemolytic anemia and thrombocytopenia, and what you see on the blood film, which is microangiopathic hemolytic anemia, there are several other causes, like what Dr. Mandy, you have mentioned.
Yeah.
The associated with malignancy, yeah, with drugs, certain drugs, with infections, as well as the atypical hemolytic uremic syndrome. So there are other causes of a MAHA picture. So it's important also to send off the ADAMTS13 activity assay.
Yeah, Dr. Jamila, so this disease is associated with 90% of mortality rate, you know. So what do you think, how soon we can get our ADAMTS13 results back?
Yes, in our laboratory, it takes about 2 weeks to get the results because, as you know, these assays, this ELISA kit assay that we perform the tests on, are very expensive, and we usually run the tests in batches. And we run it after we get at least 5 blood samples. Huh? So, that's why I actually encourage clinicians to monitor patients who have been treated with for TTP with plasma exchange and who are in remission, to monitor their ADAMTS enzymes closely, and so that we get more blood samples so that we can run the tests quickly, and hopefully we can get the results out in less than 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So important, because, you know, like I said, there are other causes of TTP. So by getting the results, the confirmation early, we can actually stop the unnecessary plasma exchange that we have instituted for the other causes of microangiopathic hemolytic anemia or thrombotic microangiopathy. And we can actually save a lot of unnecessary unnecessary plasma being used and the plasma exchange sets, which are all very expensive, and also of course all the complications of plasma exchange, such as allergic reactions, anaphylaxis, transfusion transmitted infections, and whatnot. So, Mandy, you have done a study, right?
Yeah, I did.
On thrombotic microangiopathy, I think a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share us your results?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you, Dr. Jamila, for letting me to share with you such a small retrospective study I've done back in 2012 to 2016, whereby I collected about 243 patients who were being suspected to have thrombomicroangiopathy, and they sent off with the ADAMTS13. The breakdown of the types of the ADAMTS13 activity, those like truly TTP less than 10%, is only about 21%, which is about absolute number of 47 of them. So the rest of them is due to other causes, like what Dr. Jamila nicely illustrated, like due to AHUS, HUS, or even like other causes related to malignancy, transplant-related like hematopoietic stem cell, as well as all those like autoimmune disorder like SLE. And surprisingly, last but not the least, I want to share with you some of them, like thrombomicroangiopathy with unknown causes, whereby the ADAMTS13 is lower on the lower normal, but they are actually still above 10%, it's about 21.7% of them. Yeah, that's just a small study to illustrate how much we can do if we actually hastened the testing of the ADAMS-CS13 assay. So, yeah.
Do we have a TTB registry in Malaysia?
Oh, I wish I could. Yeah, so unfortunately, we are in the middle of trying to set it up, but, you know, the funding and bureaucracy from Malaysia government is very difficult. A lot of stumbling blocks in between. And of course, I think that if we have a registry, it's very important for our resource-limited country like Malaysia to have a better understanding of management and treatment of TTP in terms of collecting the demographics, the blood results, as well as the treatment outcome among our patients, and also to have a better policy planning. Yeah. What do you think, Dr. Jamila?
With the TTP registry,
yeah,
we can then show to our policymakers that, you know, we should have better diagnosis available for these patients. Yeah. I think that's all for episode one. Thank you very much for listening in. We'll stay tuned for the second episode,
which will be touching on the current as well as the new advances in the treatment of TTP. Stay tuned.
Bye.